This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, discover language floating down the river in a basket. Coming up in today's show, the closest I'm likely ever to get to covering a sporting event. Quick note before we begin, today's show was recorded on location, and said location was full of people, hence there's quite a bit of background hubbub. So let me remind you, there are transcripts of each episode at theallusionist.org/transcripts. On with the show. It's Saturday, the 19th of August, 2017, and I'm spending the day with my friend Bruce.
Bruce, where are we?
We are in the Upper East Side of New York at a Unitarian church, about to head down to the basement of the Unitarian church for Lollapuzzoola 10, which is a crossword puzzle tournament that has been held annually. This is the 10th version of it.
Welcome to Lollapuzzoola 10. Crosswords, I think, today. But we're going to start soon, just a couple of things.
And it's really a terrifically fun tournament. About 225 people or 250 people will crowd into this tiny basement on a beautiful sunny day and not see the light of day for about 6 or 7 hours while we do crosswords.
What's your name?
Steve Golden.
And have you been to Lollapuzzoola before?
No, I've never been to any crossword tournament. I'm excited to see how this works.
How many of these have you been to before?
This is my fourth tournament officially.
Have you ever won?
I have not. Unfortunately, I'm a middle of the pack type of guy.
I love coming here every year because they're consistently some of the best puzzles I solve.
I'm here to see my friends, mostly.
When did you start coming?
I don't know. I've probably been to this particular tournament 5 or 6 times.
Probably my fifth or sixth.
Have you ever won?
No, I've not even come close.
This could be your time.
If everyone else here doesn't come back from lunch on time, I might have a chance.
You could poison their lunch.
I've thought about it. No, everyone's very friendly here. I think even the top people are all rooting for each other.
Have you done this before?
I have done this before.
How did that work out for you?
First couple times, real bad. Then I managed a win.
This is Eric Agard, the 23-year-old who won Lollapuzzoola in 2016.
You're a champion.
I am the champion. I'm the reigning champion.
You're the reigning champion. So how has your life changed in the year since you won?
You know, power corrupts, that sort of thing. You can't see it on the podcast, but I got a massive head. Literal, just...
And you're wearing a crown.
I am wearing, I would say, tiara.
I came here about 5 years ago, and the people were so nice. I didn't win, but I didn't finish last. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And I had such a great time that I've come back every year, and now I go to crossword puzzle tournaments throughout the year. So I go to tournaments in Los Angeles and Washington and all over.
There's the Indy 500 in Washington, D.C., Bosswords in Boston, and the big one, held in Stamford, Connecticut, with more than 600 competitors, the American Crossword Puzzle Tournament, founded in 1978.
Run by Will Shortz of the New York Times, and that has been a very long-standing tournament that's been around, and that's the standard by which everybody judges who is the greatest of the year, effectively. It is the big official tournament, but it also makes everybody very stressed out because it's the big official tournament. Lollapuzzoola is kind of a little less serious. A lot of serious competitors, but it's just not as much. It's not as stressful.
The New York Times crossword is still a major presence here at Lollapuzzoola. It's what got a lot of the attendees into crosswords, and many of them solve that puzzle every day. Some even take it further.
My name is Michael Sharp.
And you have a column about crosswords.
I do. I write a daily column about the New York Times crossword puzzle under the pseudonym Rex Parker. It's called Rex Parker Does the New York Times Crossword Puzzle.
What kind of things are you looking for in order to write about them?
Well, every day I look at the puzzle and talk about or write about whether I think it's any good, whether I thought it was entertaining. Sometimes it's a kind of solving diary where I talk about where I messed up and I write about my life in relation to the puzzle. So it's a combination of analysis and, yeah, like a diary.
When did you start coming to Lollapuzzoola?
7 years ago or so. It's my favorite tournament. This is the one I've been going to the longest that I like the best.
Why is it the best?
It's fun. They want it to be fun. It's a very serious tournament. The puzzles are absolutely top notch. But at the same time, people are coming and paying to come and have a good time. And so they really put a pretty good emphasis on that element, on making sure everybody, not just the fastest people, but everybody who loves to solve puzzles has a good time.
We're going to be starting in about 10 minutes.
How do you train for a crossword puzzle tournament?
I don't actually. Every year I think I should do more puzzles on paper to practice and work on speed, and then I just forget about it and just show up and do the puzzles.
All the training is just doing a bunch of puzzles. I've done 50 puzzles in a day.
Wow. Why?
For funsies.
How long did that take? About 10 minutes?
About 11, 12 minutes.
No training?
None, zero.
Wow.
We drank tequila last night. That was the training.
That was your prepping?
Yeah, yeah.
That is a true athlete.
That's right.
How do you prepare for a tournament?
Basically just practice. Every day I've got an app that allows me to do one or two crosswords a day, and it's an addiction more than it is practice.
Reasonably healthy addiction, I hope.
I think so. I think if you talk to a variety of people here, it's a really interesting bubble. A lot of commonalities in backgrounds in terms of what their interests are.
Crossword people run the gamut from people that everybody here is very interested in words, but there's a lot of interest in sort of a broad range of trivia and just sort of general knowledge. So you can attack this from sort of a word-centric perspective or a trivia-centric perspective, and you kind of need both.
The tournament is about to kick off. The basement of the Unitarian Church for All Souls is full of 257 competitors seated at round tables like they're at a wedding where there are pens instead of flower arrangements. To one side of the room are long tables where 30 teams of two will compete in the pairs division. At the back is a vast array of snacks. At the front, two huge timers which will tick down the minutes and seconds for each round.
Alright, so everybody's going to solve 5 crossword puzzles, tournament style, today, and that means that you're being scored on speed and accuracy. The speed part is like this. For your puzzle, you get 3,000 points if you're the first person to finish, and you get 5 points less for every place lower than that that you finish. So, like, I would get no points, because I'd be last.
Brian Simmet, one of Lollapuzzoola's founders, is hosting the tournament.
And so on. It doesn't matter what time you finish, it just matters what order you finish. And then the accuracy portion of your solving is like this. For every square that you leave blank or mark incorrect, you lose 10 more points off of that pristine score you started with. So that's the way that works. If your puzzle is totally perfect, you get a bonus of 100 points because we like you better than everybody else.
So my goal for today, and my goal in every tournament, I know I can't possibly win. My goal is to do all of the puzzles with no errors. Which is surprisingly hard to do.
So really, you're not competing against these people, but your own human fallibility.
I am competing against my own standard, which is if I can solve all the puzzles reasonably quickly with no errors, I will consider that a huge success. I have yet to do that in my 4 Lollapuzzoolas. The 5th one might be the charm.
I'm rooting for you, Bruce.
I'm hoping.
I just want you to beat Bruce.
And my only goal this weekend is to be higher than 50%. I'm shooting for the top half.
What to you would constitute a victory in this day?
Not coming in last.
A lot of tournaments start with the easiest puzzle. A lot of tournaments do this. Just, we didn't. Please don't get discouraged. This is not the easiest puzzle of the day. It's not the hardest either.
What do people stand to win?
Fortune and glory. Fortune and glory.
That's good.
Yeah.
The respect of their peers.
Absolutely.
Of course, I'm not competing for top spot, so I'm competing for my mediocre perfection.
That's the thing with Lollapuzzoola. Unlike some of the other tournaments, you're not competing for a big cash prize or a grand trophy. This year's victors stand to win a $25 Amazon gift card each and a 2007 World Almanac. So the real prize really is triumphing over your peers and yourself. Achieving personal goals like Bruce's mediocre perfection.
Does anybody have a reason why we cannot start puzzle one? In that case, we are going to begin this 30-minute puzzle. 30 minutes on the clock.
Good luck, everyone.
On your mark, get set, go.
Puzzle one. Let the Games Begin by Paolo Pasco. Grid size 23 by 13. Word count 108. Subtitle. We wanted to start off with some fun, but some of the game pieces may have gotten misplaced. Okay then. 3 down. Barry Humphrey's character with an honorific name. Dame Edna. 80 across. Occasion after which you can't wear white. Labor Day. 49 down. Blank Speedwagon, R-E-O, 54 across, Caitlin of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Well, I know that's Jenner, but there are only four squares in the grid for the answer, so what is going on with this puzzle?
It's always challenging when you know an answer, but it doesn't fit in the slot, because you know something has gone seriously awry, and that was the trick of, and that was the trick of this puzzle.
There's a trick in the puzzle? There's a trick in the puzzle. There's a trick in all the Lollapuzzoola puzzles. Back in episode 8 of this show, I learned about how British crosswords are constructed. We have more of a tradition of cryptic clues than American crosswords, but while the clues in Lollapuzzoola's puzzles were mostly general knowledge, there's a cryptic element to each crossword as a whole. Puzzle 1 contained 5 clues which were just, let the games begin, and the relevant squares in the grid were circled. And in keeping with the theme of Lollapuzzoola 10, the Olympic Games,
and they would spell out like tennis or archery and so on. The letters in that sport were circled, and they'd remove them from the answers to the other section.
Oh, come on.
They were real words, but they were not the words that you thought they were.
The clue was in the puzzle's subtitle, some of the game pieces may have gotten misplaced. I don't know how many hours or days it would have taken me to realise what that meant, but only 8 minutes into the 30-minute solving time, several competitors had completed the crossword.
That was challenging. It was very challenging for a first puzzle. Usually, often the first puzzles are really easy, and so you sort of cruise through it. It's sort of like your warm-up, and you're like, oh, I feel really comfortable.
But you should know better than to feel too comfortable during Lollapuzzoola's puzzles.
They're trying to, like, break boundaries each year and see what else they can put into a puzzle tournament.
They tend to recruit some of the best constructors, and they're very creative. So there's a really creative theme, something you haven't seen before, something that's done really playfully or wittily, or something that makes you legitimately laugh, answers words you haven't seen before that you never thought you'd see in a puzzle.
As I learned during Puzzle 2, the 78-word 15x15 grid titled Crossword Decathlon.
Go.
As the 20-minute solving time began, the room was quiet, save for the scribbling of pens on paper. Then, after a few moments... mewing broke out around the room as, one by one, the contestants reached clue 17 across. Do this out loud 9 times, once per life. The clue was in the puzzle's name. Decathlon. Decathlon. I should have spotted the feline theme. Lollapuzzoola is renowned for such performative elements. For instance, one year, someone's phone kept going off. Phones are usually prohibited, but the disapproval evaporated when contestants realised the ringtones were actually clues to the puzzle they were solving.
You know, you can do regular crossword puzzles, you can buy books of them, you can do them online. There's an infinite number of crossword puzzles to do, you can do in the privacy of your own house, but there's something fun about doing crossword puzzles in a room and you've got 225 people all meowing and pretending to scratch a table.
And that's part of the appeal. Rather than doing crosswords alone at home, of coming to a tournament like Lollapuzzoola to solve crosswords alongside hundreds of others.
I love the communal feel. It's one of those situations where, oh, I'm with a group of people who I like, who I appreciate, who I want to get to know. Oh, and we like crosswords and we're doing nothing but crosswords as well. This is a bonus. So if anything, the competitive nature drops for me because I love the people here and I love what I'm doing when solving crosswords.
Right, it seems like a very solitary activity, but this is a good way to get to know other people who like the same thing. Meet a lot of good friends this way. Met my boyfriend basically through puzzles and trivia and things.
Really? Tell me more.
One night I was at Loose Ends and there was a trivia quiz, like a pub trivia quiz going on in town, and I posted on Facebook, hey, I'd like to go to this. Can I glom onto somebody's team? And one of my friends said, sure, glom onto our team. And so I met my boyfriend through that.
That's beautiful. did he impress you with an incredible knack for a certain kind of...
Oh, he is a terrific puzzler and a great constructor of cryptic crosswords in particular.
Crossword columnist Michael Sharp has embraced the communality of the tournament to the extent that this year he's competing in the pairs division with his wife Penelope Harper.
I never thought I would have enjoyed solving with anyone else, but I'm in the pairs division here with my wife, and just that sense of community of seeing how other people solve. Mostly you don't see how other people solve. It's like, it's weirdly voyeuristic. Like, it's a solitary endeavor. So it's interesting to see how fast people are, and to talk to people immediately after you solve. That's the other thing. Most people never have an opportunity to really process what they've just gone through and break it down and have a conversation about what they liked and didn't like in real time and with other enthusiastic solvers. So that's another thing that a tournament provides, is just that sense of community and fun.
How is it solving them with your wife rather than on your own?
It's different because I'm not kidding, the only circumstance in which that happens. Actually solving a puzzle in real time on paper together, never. So it's actually fun because I've never done it before, and it's weird to know how do you put your hands and who solves what at what pace.
It actually takes the pressure off a lot in a tournament, having like someone that you can trust do a puzzle with you. So for me it just de-stresses the whole thing. It makes it fun.
This is Michael Sharp's wife and co-competitor, Penelope Harper. Have you competed solo before?
Yes, I have, I tend to get angry when I do solo because I never do as, I'm not as good as I think I should be. And then I just have to tell myself, it's just a puzzle tournament, chill out. So when I'm doing it with Michael, it's automatically, the stakes are so much lower and it's just about having fun.
How have you divided up the labor?
Well, we're basically working on opposite sides of the grid and then sharing information when it seems pertinent to the overall solve.
Michael and Penelope first competed as a pair at last year's Lollapuzzoola.
We came second.
That's very good.
Well, no, because even though I'm like, chill, 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 I really wanted to come first.
Low stakes, though, just about having fun. And how did the first half of this day go?
I think we actually did really well. I don't know if anyone finished ahead of us. I think we're doing very well, assuming we haven't made an error. So it's actually quite nice.
Three puzzles down, and it's time to break for lunch.
What's kind of encouraging when you look at this room is, if you look around this room, there are a lot of older folks, and then there are a lot of young folks. So this is not some dying thing where you go, oh my gosh, you know, kids these days aren't interested in this. You get kids who are interested in it. You know, there are folks in here who are 80, and there are folks in here who are 20. And it's actually, there are probably some who are under 20. And so it's kind of cool. Actually, I was looking over there, Neville, he's a math professor in Kentucky, and he's doing pairs with his mom, which I think is really cool. I'm a little envious.
I'm Neville Fogarty. This is my mom.
C. Fogarty.
Do you do a lot of these together?
This is our first time.
Yeah, this is our first tournament competing as a pair, but my mom sort of taught me how to solve crosswords about 10 years ago. So this is her first tournament, though.
How are you finding it so far?
Very nerve-wracking.
And yet, you seem to finish that round pretty fast in a few minutes.
Very good.
I think we just work well together as a team. I've come to a few of these.
Have you ever won?
No. Not even close, so.
But with your mom here, this could be your day.
Quite possibly.
She's making
the best chance I've ever stood.
She's making a face that suggests it's not your day. That's not the kind of confidence of a winner.
I don't think we're really here trying to win. It's more so here to have fun.
And to make a memory. It's been going fairly well, so I'm scared it's gonna.
No.
So this puzzle takes 40 minutes.
Lunch over. Everyone's back in the basement for puzzles 4 and 5. Which will determine the finalists who will compete in the 6th round.
4 is the hardest one. So this puzzle will take 40 minutes to finish about a third of it, and then you'll all have to give up. All right. If we're all set, on your mark, get set, go.
Puzzle 4. New biathlons by Francis Heaney. Two sports are better than one. Just be sure to contain your excitement. 40 minutes, 18x17 grid, word count 97. Alrighty, 7 down. Ailment, that sounds like one pronunciation of a Persian Gulf country. Nora Ephron's sister and sometime collaborator.
Qatar.
Delia. 20 across. Indian instrument plus new biathlon equals caption of a photo in which reviewer Jean and an alien sit atop a carpet next to a sailor. 66 across. Front wheel adjustment plus new biathlon equals reason California's largest city hosts a panel about a Chinese noodle dish. I am way too jet-lagged for this.
The end of puzzle 4. The end of puzzle 4. Wow, this was a tricky one.
Hi, I'm Katie Hamill.
Katie Hamill has been competing at crossword tournaments for about 10 years.
And a few weeks before Lollapuzzoola, she won the Indy 500 in Washington, D.C.
That was just a 40-minute puzzle that you finished in how many minutes?
About seven.
About seven.
So far, I'm not in danger of completing any of these puzzles in 7 minutes. On a good round, I might get about 5 clues in 7 minutes. But several hours deep into Lollapuzzoola, I am noticing some improvement.
Great, we're going to start puzzle 5. On your mark. Get set. Go.
Puzzle 5. Stick the Landing by June Pak. 40 minutes, 19 by 19 grid. 126 words. One across. Make your words stand out. Emboss. One down. Praying hands or face with tears of joy, e.g. Emoji. 88 across. They get into hot water. Teabags. 103 down. Short hairstyle. Bob.
Time is up. If you're still working, stop working.
I did it! Admittedly, only 3 minutes and 22 seconds short of the 40-minute time limit, but I completed that crossword. First time in my life. It's very encouraging, but I'm not going to be troubling the finals anytime soon, or anytime ever. Now that the 5 rounds are done, we wait for the judges to check everyone's grids for errors, combine that with their times, make any necessary point deductions, and compile the rankings.
So how are you feeling now all the 5 rounds are done?
I feel really great. They had a lot of great puzzles last year, and they somehow did better this year.
Chris found he'd inadvertently left 2 squares blank in his puzzle, but he's not going to let that spoil everything.
Just leaving 2 blank squares at one across is just hilarious. And I wasn't going to make the finals anyway. I was hoping for a clean solve, but I think I still hopefully finish top 10, so it's been a great day.
I'm glad the 2 blank squares haven't undone all the good work in the day.
It happens.
You have 2 squares blank, but you filled in hundreds.
Right, yeah, and I didn't have any wrong squares, I just didn't have all the right squares.
The results are in. And despite not having all the right squares, Chris finished 8th out of 227.
So I think it's the best I've ever done at this tournament.
Did I make it? Did I make it? Did I make it? 98.
What's your name? 98.
Yes, I made it. I made it.
Congratulations.
I'm perfectly mediocre.
And you made it clean.
Yeah, that's what I was.
No errors.
That was my goal.
Well done. Well done.
That's my goal, so I made it. Woohoo!
98th and error-free, a personal triumph for Bruce.
If you finish in 4th place through 10th place, we love you very much, but we have no prizes for you.
In the 6th and final round, the top 3 from both the local division and the express division have to get on stage and complete a puzzle on enlarged grids on dry erase boards.
So in the finals, this is how it works. We have one puzzle grid that has 2 sets of clues. The slightly easier clues go to the local division, the slightly harder clues go to the express division.
First the 3 local finalists, then the express finalists take to the stage wearing headphones playing White Noise so no one can shout answers to them.
Congratulations to all of our finalists. All right, our express division finishing in 3rd place with an almost complete puzzle, Glenn Ryan. Silver medal, finishing correctly in 13 minutes and 7 seconds, Eric Madden. And the Lollapuzzoola 10 Express Division champion, finishing the puzzle correctly in 12 minutes and 6 seconds, Andy Kravis.
The winners receive their medals, copies of the 2007 World Almanac, and $25 Amazon gift cards.
In our pairs division, in 2nd place in the pairs division, Neville and C. Fogarty.
How do you feel, your first tournament?
Oh, I think it's just marvelous. I'm just real excited.
We're really thrilled, and I know we're both happy about having every letter correct throughout the tournament. That was a personal goal, so I'm glad we did that too.
Congratulations, both of you. And in 1st place in the pairs division, and currently actually finishing with, I think, what is the 10th best overall score in any division, Michael Sharp and Penelope Hawkins.
Congratulations.
Thank you. How exciting.
Victory is yours.
I know, right? I have a medal and everything. I've never won anything. Michael won worst handwriting once, and I think he won like best in upstate New York. But this, I've never...
It's a proper victory.
This is actually very exciting, yeah, because I've never won anything.
What do you feel it says about your relationship? That victory came when you worked in cooperation?
Yeah, that we just trusted each other's work and didn't get too frustrated with each other and just kind of let each other do what we needed to do, so I couldn't have done this by myself.
And as Penelope and Michael took themselves and their medals off to celebrate, the mood all round was pretty triumphant. For a competitor like Bruce, it really is not the winning but the taking part that counts.
I don't get to participate in the same way with a piece of art or a piece of music, but this is a piece of art that somebody's put together for me with language that I actually get to participate in and be able to take part in. And so it's really exciting to be, it's a really fun interactive activity.
Thanks to Brian Simmet of Lollapuzzoola and all the attendees who didn't mind me sticking a microphone in their faces, in order of appearance, Steve, Chris, another Chris, Ben, Jesse, Eric, Michael, Brian, Laura, Adashina, Katie, Penelope, Neville and his mum C. And thanks most of all to Bruce Ryan, perfectly mediocre in crosswording, exceptional in his support of this show and Radiotopia, which is how we met and became friends, and how we ended up on a jaunt to Lollapuzzoola this year. For more about crosswords, listen to episode 8 of this show, entitled Crosswords, at theallusionist.org/crosswords, or further along the feeds in the places you can hear the show: iTunes, Radio Public, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, the seashell you're holding up to your ear. Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is... xerophyte, noun, botany, a plant which needs very little water. Try using it in an email today. This episode was produced by me, Helen Zaltzman, with music by Martin Austwick. Find Allusionist Show on Facebook and Twitter, and pay a home visit to theallusionist.org.